of the month of May, the year 2003. We are now continuing where we left off at our previous session prior to Yontif, which is at the beginning of Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Omid Beis. We're on the second side right now, and we're ready to begin. Well, actually, we owe three words on the previous page, which is Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, okay, I don't want to deny him his quotation, and so we'll continue. All right, I just want to point out that the last couple of sessions or so, we dealt with the problem of what are the special readings in the Torah for the various festival days. We then turned our attention to special Shabbosim during the course of the year. Okay? And we went through practically every one of them. Of course, if you remember, the last ones that we discussed were what is the special Haftorah that we read on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and what is the special one that we read on Shabbos, which is Rosh Chodesh. In other words, when the following day is Rosh Chodesh. Right. Okay. So now we continue, and we still left out a little bit, because what we didn't discuss is what about Tisha B'Av? After all, Tisha B'Av also has a special reading. So this is what we're now going to deal with. Okay? And of course, what is Tisha B'Av preceded by? It's what we call today Shabbos Chazon. Oh, right. Why do we call it Shabbos Chazon? Because Chazon happens to be the very first word in the first chapter of the book of Yeshayahu, book of Isaiah, and that is the Haftorah that begins with the words Chazon, Yeshayahu ben Amoz, Sheikh Chazon, Yeshayahu Yishloim, etc., etc. This is the vision of Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, which he prophesied in the days of Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, and Hizkiyahu, okay, right, kings of Judah. And then he goes into a denunciation of the social conditions that he finds are absolutely wrong, but at the same time he also holds out hope for the people of Israel that, God will preserve them in Eretz Yisrael, provided Zion b'mishpat tepada, Zion will be redeemed in justice, v'shavecha b'tzdaka, and those who dwell in it will be redeemed through tzedakah, through righteousness. Okay? So this Haftorah is read, according to our tradition, always on the Shabbos, which precedes Tisha B'Av. But Rav Huna had a slightly different tradition. Of course, don't forget what we have today is what developed since Rav Huna's time, okay? But Rav Huna, who was active in Babylonia, let's say about 1700 years ago or something like that, okay? So,
this part of you is the same after?
Yes. And this is already a tradition, okay? So, at the top of the page, Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, it says Rosh Chodesh Av. In other words, if it is the first day of Av, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, which happens to be on Shabbos, then Maftirin Chodshechem Moadechem Sonon Avshi, or you alai lo Torah. This is a quotation taken from the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, in the first chapter in Yeshayahu. We read, he says, the Haftorah, which contains also, among other sentences, among other verses, your new moons and your festivals, my soul detests, they have become a burden unto me. And of course, if we were to read the rest of the message of Yeshayahu, what he had to say, so he says, because your hands, he says, are full of blood. In other words, you're doing injustice and so on. So therefore, the fact that you come into the Beis HaMikdash and you come and you make celebration, in other words, you go through the formalities of worship, but if your ethical life is not good, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is also is very unhappy about it, and if anything, he detests it. He has a hatred towards this kind of behavior. Okay?
He's calling out the Jews.
Right. Okay, So, according to Rav Huna, if it is Rosh Chodesh Av on Shabbos, right? And then in that particular case, that is a special Haftorah.
Why does he say bothers me? I don't understand it. Why does it say?
Pardon me?
Why does Yeshayahu say come?
Yeshayahu says.
Becomes
a burden unto me. All right. Let's do, first of all, the next part of the Gemara, and then I'll go back again to explaining something. It says, my hoyu alayla Torah, what do we mean when the prophet says they have become a burden unto me? So Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, lo dayon lehem l'Yisrael shechotin lefonai. Not enough that the people of Israel sin before me, they put a burden upon my shoulders as to how should I act with them. You know, it's like, for example, a parent is not sure exactly what punishment to give a child, you know, when the child disobeys and does the wrong thing. Should you punish him this way? Should you punish him the other way? And so on. So Rabbeinu Shalom also is faced with a similar problem, that when the people of Israel sin, then he has to know what kind of a punishment should he mete out unto them. Okay? So, this is the quotation of Rav Huna. This is what he had to say. All right? Now, I think that the reason why, it's a guess on my part, but I think that the reason why he says that Rosh Chodesh Av, which occurs on that, is because what did we do at the bottom of the previous page? We were talking, among other things, of what is the Haftorah that we read on Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
Right? So, in other words, what he's trying to tell us at this particular point is that if it is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and it's the first day of the month of Av, then in that particular case, we do not read what? Hashamayim Kisi. Right? In other words, the one that contains the verse, V'hoyo b'day chodesh b'chodsho, etc., b'day Shabbos b'shabbato, which is towards the end of the Haftorah, that we read on Shabbos b'chodesh. In other words, that would be the one that normally would be read, but instead, we switch instead to this particular Haftorah. Alright. Now I want to go over with Tosfos with you. Great big Tosfos over here, but Tosfos speaks about the practice of their day, and this is actually the practice that we pretty much observe to this very day. Okay?
Right.
All right. The very top of the page where it says, Rosh Chodesh Av. Do you see it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Rosh Chodesh Av, Shechol Yoyis B'Shabbos. It says, and if it happens to be Rosh Chodesh Av and it occurs on Shabbos, then after the Haftorah is Chodeshechem, Adechem, Chodesh Nafshi, etc. Okay. It says, V'ein Onu Osin Kein. However, says Tosfos, this is not our practice. Elo, maftir b'yumiyo shimu davar harishem. But rather, this being what? It happens to be the second Shabbos in the series of what we call what? The Dreivach, the 3 weeks, okay? The first one, right. In other words, the one that follows immediately after Shiva Osir B'Tamuz. So at that time we read a Haftorah Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, in other words the first chapter in the prophet Yirmiyahu, right? And again he speaks about the impending disaster for the people of Israel if they don't mend their way. Okay? The second Shabbos, in other words, this, if we have Rosh Chodesh Av on Shabbos, then it's always going to be the second Shabbos of the Dreivochen. So this is what Tosfos says. What do we read instead on that Shabbos? We read Shimu Devar Hashem, which happens to be the continuation in the second chapter of Yirmiyahu, and continues the theme, again, you know, of the people of Israel. The first one is much more hopeful. The second one is not so hopeful anymore.
Yeah,
okay?
It gets worse as it goes on.
Right, gets worse. All right. So, that still leaves us with what? What are we going to do with Chazon Yeshayahu? So he says, Shabbos should if they tish above Chazon Yeshayahu. Then, when do we always read Chazon Yeshayahu? We always read it on the Shabbos immediately preceding Tisha B'Av. V'hatam, what is the reason? He says, Lefi she'onenu hagin api ha'psikta. Because we follow a custom which we find in the psikta. Psikta is one of the collections of midrashim, okay? And in the psikta, Lomar, it says over there that we should say, Gimel de Purim Nuso, Kodem Tisha B'Av. We have to read three haftorahs speaking about the punishment that will come to the people of Israel if they disobey God's voice, right? And we have to read them prior to Tisha B'Av. The Elohein, and these are as follows. Divrei Yirmiyahu, as I said, Shimu Devar Hashem, and Chazon Yeshayahu. Okay. Uvaso Tisha B'Av, but following Tisha B'Av, then we have a new series, Shev D'Nechmosa, which means seven haftorahs of consolation, of comfort, okay? Consolation. V'tarte D'Tiyufta, and then after that, we read two haftorahs which deal with the theme of Teshuvah, of repentance. V'Yelohim. And now, Tosfos gives the list of the haftorahs, and this is what we read to this very day. This is the practice that we follow. The first Shabbos after Tisha B'Av is what? Nachamu, Nachamu. Okay. The second one is Vatomer Tzion. Right. Tomer Tzion is Vani Hashem, Adshim Shechoni, right? Zion complains, God has forgotten me, he's forgotten me, and God says, no, how could I? I always remember you, you will not be forgotten by me. The third one would be Aniyah Sawara, the OU who are poor, storm-tossed, and so on and so forth. At that particular time, God again promises consolation and restoration to Israel. And the next word, Levado, means by itself. Why does it say by itself? Because there's another occasion during the year when we also read Aniyah Sawara together with the verses that precede it, which is Loma Samar Yaakov, not Loma Samar Yaakov, leave my chumash for a moment. Well, I'll come to it in a second. Roni Akora, right, okay. That's all right, it's Roni Akora. Okay, Roni Akora in the book of Yeshayahu actually precedes Aniyah Sawara, and when we have Parsha Noach, then in that particular case we read both sections, okay, as the Haftorah. Understand? Roni Akora and Aniyah Sawara. But on the seven Shabbosim that follow Tisha B'Av and precede Rosh Hashanah, so we read on the third Shabbos, Aniyah Sawara only, and we do not do what? We don't read Roni Akora. Okay. Then it continues. Then the next Shabbos, we read Onochi Onochi. God says, I am the one who will give you consolation, right? Will bring you, comfort and your sorrow and so on and so forth. And then the following Shabbos is Roni Akora. Here he didn't have to say by itself, because it's already been said before, right? So we read it at that particular point. And then the next one is Kumi Ori, arise, show forth your light, and so on and so forth. And then finally, Sos Osis. This is always the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, where it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, right? And then my soul will rejoice in God because he's given me the garments of salvation, etc. Now, the seven haftorahs of consolation. Pardon me.
You want some water?
I could probably use it. Okay. There he is, yeah. All right. And then he continues, and then what follows after that? So he says, the next two haftorahs would be Dirshu and Shuva. Okay, sorry.
All right, take it down. Rest a minute.
All right. These are two haftorahs of teshuva, of repentance. Now, when do we read Dirshu? The answer is we read it on all fast days to Mincha. And of course, what is the fast day that follows immediately after Rosh Hashanah? Exactly. So Gedalia, we read it. And then, of course, Shuvah Yisrael, as we're all aware, I mean, this is the haftorah that we read on Shabbos Shuvah. Right. Okay, so therefore we now see the sequence of seven of consolation and two of teshuva. Excuse me. Well, Ficham, he says, and for this reason, Magdimin Aniyo So'aro Kodamunia Korah. And now, of course, he answers another question. Remember, I said, which in Yeshayahu comes first? Actually, Rani Akora comes before Ani Yoso Ara. So we ask the question, so why do we read Ani Yoso Ara prior to Rani Akora? In other words, not in the same order in which we have it.
The door is unlocked.
The door is unlocked. Okay. Thanks very much, Greg. I'll stagger through the Tosfos, and I think we'll call it a halt, but we finished the Tosfos. Okay. So we'll continue next week from the point where we'll leave off, or I'll do a little bit more. Okay. So, all right, so Tosfos now asks the question then, why is it that in the Shabbosim, between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, why did we read on the Yosu Arab prior to Rani Akorah? So he says, the Derech HaNechamos, if you take a look at these various prophecies of consolation, the Yos Holchos Mishubachos Yoser, the tendency is for them to be more and more in praise of the people of Israel. There's a progression going on, okay? And we can understand that. The first Shabbos, when we read Nachamu, right? We call upon the prophets to come and to give consolation to the people of Israel. Okay. The next one says that Zion says, but God has forgotten about me. God has forsaken me. And so therefore it needs more reassurance. But Israel still feels what? Ani Yoso Aroth. Storm tossed, poor, and so on, and therefore in greater need of God's consolation, right? So then, after that, what do we find? The next Shabbos, we're already reading Onochi Onochi, where Hashem says, it's not the prophets who are actually doing the comforting to the people, but who is it? I'm Hashem. I'm the one who's doing it, okay? And then the next Shabbos we read Roni Akora, okay, yeah. Where, well, not again. No. Before we read Ani Yoso Aroth, now we read Roni Akora, because the people of Israel who felt, you know, that they were barren, she had lost her children and so on, and God says, you will have even a greater number of children who will be coming back in order to rejoice with you. And so on. And then the next one, Kumiori, God says, come, show forth your light. And this is, you know, where we have in the middle of that Haftorah where it says, his orary, Yerushalayim, Kumi, you know, in other words, God says, rise, awake, sir, because, you know, Al Chomasach, Yerushalayim, Yevkarati, Shomrim, God says, I have, placed guardian angels who will be watching over you and so on and so forth and bring you back. And the Haftorah ends with Ani Hashem Yitach Hishena. I am God, he says, and I'll bring about the return of the people of Israel to Eretz Yisrael Be'ito in its time, Achishena, I will hasten it. That of course brings an interesting comment.
What is the last part?
Achishena, I will cause it to be hastened. Okay, so, you know, of course they ask, It's a contradiction. It's be'ito nachishena. One says in its time, in its proper time, and the other one, I will hasten it. Okay? So the explanation is that, right, that if the people of Israel takedu the right tshuva, and so on, so be'achishena, then Hashem will bring it about even sooner, right? But if not, the time will yet come that it will be be'ito. When the time appointed by Hashem comes, this is when it will happen, definitely. Okay? And then finally, so sasis, therefore Israel says, I rejoice in God. My soul is so happy in God. It's only because He has clothed me in garments of salvation. Of course, this is a very appropriate introduction to the Yomim Tovim, you know, to the Yomim Noroyim that are going to be coming. Because we speak about God as giving us salvation if we turn unto Him. And then, of course, the other two, as I said, they, again, Dirshu, seek God during the time when He can be found. In other words, the appropriate season is when? Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then Shuvah Yisrael, it calls Israel, you know, to come and to do tshuva.
So who actually set this, the sequence of our Torahs and lined them up this way? I mean, Tosfos mentions
it's the Psikta. Psikta is one of the collections of Midrashim that go back roughly to about the 4th, 5th century or something like that, okay?
4th, 5th century.
Right, yeah.
After the destruction of the temple.
Right, right. But of course, in many cases, you know, the traditions are much older than that. Okay. Right. Right.
That's used in protocol that we use right before the Tachlis came.
Uh huh. Right. First she he'll be shining be the Yasha, right? Because God has clothed me in the garments of salvation. The Il Tzedaka Yatani, right? He has clothed me with a cloak of righteousness and so on, right? Yeah. Okay. And talking about that, don't forget that we have a Chevah Kaddisha dinner, which is scheduled for the Sunday, what is it, the 16th or something? That's what the committee was supposed to be working on. The one at La Renaissance. Forget the exact date.
We're all
going to
be signing up for next week
for Weight Watchers. Okay, yeah, this is the dinner season of the year. All right, let me finish the Tosfos over here.
All right.
All right. Okay.
So the deadline for the 12th.
The 12th? Okay. The Seder Zeh Maschil B'Pinchas. And when do we begin, you know, this order, doing it, so it's when we read Parsha Pinchas, and so on and so forth. All right. Well, the Yerlam, he says, Osis will always occur when we read Be'atem Nitzavim, the Hainu Shabbos of the Rosh Hashanah, Lefi Shehu Sof HaNechamos, right? The Dir Shehu, he says, when we read that, see God, Betzom Gedalia, the Shuva, the Shabbos of the Yom HaKippur. Shabbos before Yom Kippur. Ukshayesh Shabbos, then Yom HaKippur and Sukkos, and then in those years where there happens to be a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, Oz Havi Dirshu B'Shabbos Lefnei Yom HaKippurim, Mishum Dichsiv Bei Dirshu Hashem Himotzav Ahayinu Bimei Tshuva. Actually, this is not the custom that we follow to this very day. Okay? But the one that Tosfos mentions is that if there is an additional Shabbos between, if there's a Shabbos, in other words, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which always occurs, and possibly a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so he says, under those circumstances, then Dirsha would be read on the Shabbos between Yom Kippur, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the other one, Shuva Yisrael, would be read following. Yeah. However, as I say, this is not what our practice is. Okay? All right. But as I said before, why is Dirshu appropriate for the 10 days of repentance? Because Hainu be made Shuva right? Because we say that when we say seek God when he is available, when he is near, when he can be found, this is particularly appropriate to the 10 days, as Gemara says, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Meshuvah Bein Kippur, the Sukkah, said now to justify the fact that he says we should reach the Hatzor of Shuvah Yisrael between Yom Kippur and Sukkah, Gesivba, because in the Haftorah, which comes incidentally from different sources, so we also find a verse which happens to be from Sefer Yoel at that time, V'nosati l'cho Yoel Malkosh, I will give you the rain, V'chein v'adashem nosan kodof ne'chelo, and so on, that God sounded his voice before his Chayil, his army, literally, the Mishtoi B'mayim, which is appropriate in speaking about water. Meshach Shapir Fnei Sukkos, and this belongs very nicely between before Sukkos. V'zah Minhag Lo Yishtane Liyodom. And this Minhag will never be changed al Pi HaPsikta, according to the Psikta. V'chein Perash Rabbeinu Tam, right? And likewise, Rabbeinu Tam also explained it this way. But he says, V'lo K'divrei Rav HaChovel, HaHafechem Valbel Lomar, and it should not be in accordance with the Rav HaChovel, literally the captain of the ship, who turns it around and he mixes it up, and saying, Shuva is quoting Yom Kippur, the Sos Osis, Bein Kippur the Sukkos, and so it also should be read between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. The Yain LaHafzik Bein Hashesh Nechomis Neshvis, because we do not interrupt the seven Haftorahs that should follow. Elo Kediv Rabbeinu Tam, but rather we should act in accordance to how Rabbeinu Tam said that in Yisharim Achtem, that you act in accordance with those who are righteous. Soisos is Bereshisai v'shuvah b'achriso. So that Soisos is before Rosh Hashanah and then Shuvah at the end. Okay. Etc. etc. Okay. So now he comes back to something that he started with. He says, V'ho, now getting back to what we said, She'ein onam aftirim chazon v'shabbos she'cho b'rosh chodesh. Why is it that we don't read Chazon Yishayahu if Rosh Chodesh Av is on Shabbos? It's Mishum Dekhaim Malon, because we have this tradition, the Ein Avelus Chol Ela B'Shavah Shechol Tishav Av L'Yos B'Secha. This is something that we learned in the Gemara in Tainis, that according to the original idea, when is mourning really to be in effect? This is the week, the Shavua, the Shabbos, that week in which Tisha B'Av occurs in it. The Rav, the Yomar, the Mafti Chazon, Sovar, the Mehavelus Chol Miyat, Shenithas Rosh Chodesh. Okay? And Rav, who said that the Avelus, in other words, that the period of mourning begins immediately, as soon as Rosh Chodesh Av begins, the Yen Halacha Kain. So Tosfos says Halacha doesn't follow that. I don't have to tell you that we actually do follow that, even if the person says no. So as you can see, we don't always go according to the custom of Tosfos. There are times, and because as time developed, we develop customs of our own. And, with the Minhagim, you're playing around with something.
Well, okay. Are these Minhagim universal now? I mean, are they universal?
Yeah, right. But again, not everything that the Gemara suggested is followed to us today. And as we can see over here, sometimes what Tosfos has to say also is not followed by us today. Okay? All right, we have take a few more minutes just to go down to the two dots over there on the page of the Gemara. Okay? All right. So, the last time that we spoke about was about Chazon Yishayahu.
All right.
All right. So then, Gemara wants to know, what do we read on Tisha B'Av? But Tisha B'Av Gufe, on Tisha B'Av itself, my Maftarinon, what Haftarah do we read on that day? So Omar Rav said, we read Eicha HaYisod HaZona, which is also part of Chazon Yeshayahu. Of course, why read it on Tisha B'Av? Because what is that word Eicha? It reminds us of Eicha Yoshua Vodot. In other words, you know, the Megillah that we read on Tisha B'Av. So he felt that that would be the appropriate Haftorah for Tisha B'Av. Okay? Nikra Mai, and what Torah reading should we have on Tisha B'Av? So it says, Tanya, we've learned that Acherim Omrim, that there are those who say, not that we should read Vayechal, which normally we do on a fast day in the morning, right? But rather we should say a special reading, the Torah of Yimlo Sishmuli, which happens to be part of the, what we call the Tochicha, that we find in Sefer Vayikra. There are those who say, right, others say, literally, okay? So this is one suggested reading for Tisha B'Av morning.
Is that the one we use?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Nosson Bar Yosef Omer, he says, Anodina Atsuni Hom Hatzah. The appropriate reading would be what follows, you know, the in the Torah, where we read about the spies coming back and doing what?
They're giving a false report.
Right, they give a false report and cause the people, you know, to weep and then to cry on that day, okay? The Yesh Omrim, and there are those who say, same general area, but they would begin with Ad Mosai Lo Hido Harazos, right? Hashem wants to know, how long do I have to put up with this evil group of people, okay? Of course, the question is, why would this be an appropriate passage for Tisha B'Av? This is something that we learned at the Gemara in Titus.
Don't remember.
You don't remember. Shame. You flunked the test.
Don't remember.
The answer. This caused the 40 years of wandering.
This caused the 40 years of wandering subsequently. Correct.
40 years of what?
It's written by... that when the report came to them, the people wept on that night. All right?
Yeah, course,
and Hashem said, they wept, right? They had no reason to weep because I had promised that they would go to Eretz Yisrael and so on.
Right.
And therefore, from now on, this will be a day of disaster where you will have real reason, you know, to weep. So that therefore, this, he says, is an appropriate reading for Tisha B'Av in the morning. Okay. All right. Omar Abaye said, Ho'idna, today, Nohugal Mola Nikre, today the Olam reads, Kisolid Bonim, and this is what we do to this very day. This comes from Parsha the Eschanan, where again Hashem speaks, you know, that if you turn to idolatry, then in that particular case, problems will come to the people of Israel, but nevertheless, God will remember you, and you know, he will restore you from captivity. Okay, and
what?
Yeah. So
Bayah says that we read.
We read Kisolid Bonim, and that's what we read to this very day. As I said, it's a parsha of Eschanan, happens to be the fourth chapter in the Devarim. Okay, and then what is Haftorah for Tisha B'Av? So Haftorah is not Chazon. That was mentioned before, but it is Asof HaSifim, which comes from the book of Yirmiyahu, and this today is still read every Tisha B'Av morning. So that we have over here the reading for Tisha B'Av in the morning.
What does that mean?
No. Asof HaSifim, God says, I will literally, it can mean gather them, but it also means to destroy them, bring an end to them.
So, bring an end
right,
to
them. Right, yeah. It's a play on words, because... The verse continues over there in Anovim by Geffen. There's no more grapes left on the grapevine, and so on and so forth. And the fig tree is bare of its fruit, and so on and so forth. In other words, disaster is coming to the land. Disaster is coming to the people of Israel if they do not mend their ways.
Right.
Okay. All right. So we will stop at this particular point. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
All right, tonight is the 14th of the month of May in the year 2003. And yes, Hashem, we're looking forward to the Siyum next week of Maseches Megillah. We've labored hard during the course of this time, from beginning with the first daf that we have right to the present. And the last matter that we were discussing, if you remember, was the various readings for the holidays, both Torah readings and also Haftorah readings. So now with that, we are finished as far as that section is concerned. But we're still talking about laws pertaining to the reading of the Torah. All right. We start now with, again, the Mishnah also spoke about the Ma'abodos, that when they had the Ma'abodos, then it's for Ma'aseh Bereishis. They would read the Torah and read the first chapter, of course, in the book of Genesis, namely what we call the, the chapter that deals with the creation of the world. All right. Now, a little reminder, what are the Ma'amodos? We learned, of course, in Maseches Tanis, that Eretz Yisrael was divided into 24 areas, and each area was assigned a week in which representative Kohanim, representative Levim, and representative Yisraelim would go to the Beis HaMikdash and officiate at the services over there. And at home, in that particular district, Jews would gather in their various synagogues, they would fast, they would read from the Torah, and of course, the sacrifices that were held in the Beis HaMikdash at that particular time was representative of the people in that particular district. But altogether, each Jew had his turn in order to be represented in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So
is this a general government division as well?
Yeah, well, exactly how the division was made, it was really based more, upon names that we find in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and so on. That's where we find various names. So that this is how the division was made. But, as I say, the main thing.
It was an orderly way to manage the city.
Yes, right. It's not just a city. It would be a district. In other words, it would correspond, let's say, to like a county or something like that.
Yeah,
where,
them.
Right. Where,
to manage the whole city.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Okay. So, question that the Gemara wants to know is, where do we have a reference to the fact in the Bible, always means show me someplace in the Bible where it hints at this or is a reference for this. Okay. So, needless to say, in the Torah itself, we don't have a mention of the Ma'amodos. I mean, that's something that developed in a much later period in history.
Right.
But still, we want to see, is there anything in scriptures that they could sort of use as a peg, to associate this particular custom with? All right. So they say, Omer Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami said, Ilumoli Ma'amodes in the sky and Shemayim v'oretz. It says, the basic idea is that if it were not for the Ma'amodes, which means the sacrifices that are offered on behalf of the entire people of Israel, then heaven and earth itself would not endure. Shenemar, and here we have a pasuk that they quote, happens to be a pasuk taken from the book of Jeremiah, where it says, Im lo brisi yomum v'layla, if it were not for my covenant for day and night, chuko shamayim v'oretz l'samti, I would not have established the laws by which heaven and earth are governed. Uchsiv, and we have another pasuk, this time comes from the Torah itself, where it says, Vayomar Hashem alikim, Vayomar Hashem alikim, Vayomar Hashem alikim, that Abraham said, O Lord God, how do I know that I will inherit the land of Israel? So, of course, the usual interpretation that we give for it, for this particular pasuk, is that Abraham has been told that he's going to have not just Eretz Israel as a land, but also that he would have children, descendants, who would inherit it. And so he says, Lord God, by what virtue am I worthy to have such an heritage? So Avraham of the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shleilam, says to the regard, it says Rebbeinu Shleilam, Shema Chas B'Shalom Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha. Let us suppose, for example, that the people of Israel sin before you. V'yato Asel Lehem Kedor HaMabul Kedor HaFloga. Are you going to punish them just as you punished the generation of the flood? Or the generation that built the Tower of Babel? Of course, in the case of the flood, we know what happened. In the case of the Tower of Babel, the punishment was that people were scattered all over the earth, speaking all different languages. So, are you going to punish the people of Israel if they sin before you? Omalo, love. So God said to him, no. Omalafonav. So Abraham continues discussing with the Rebbeinu Shleilam, or arguing with him, whatever you want to call it, okay? He says to Rebbeinu Shleilam, he says, Bamor Eda, how, huh? Excuse me, right, I must have skipped a line, right. No, not in my book. How will I know that, you know, that the people of Israel would not be dealt the same punishment that you meted out to the generation of the flood or to the generation of the Tower of Babel? So Amalo, so Hashem said to him, do this. Kecholi Egla Mishaleshes, take unto me a heifer which is Mishaleshes. Mishaleshes, there are different interpretations that are given. One of them says that it's an outstanding, excellent, most excellent quality. Okay? A heifer of that quality. Others say that it means that it's the third one to be born. I mean, there are different ideas. Okay. And also, the Isle Mishulash, also a ram and doves and so on and so forth. And you have to make the Brisbane Hapsorum, which means the covenant wherein the sacrifice was divided into two, and Abraham was to pass between them, and this was a sign of a covenant between him and God, right?
No, was Abraham the first man to do formal sacrifice?
No, because it's written that nowhere after the flood offered up sacrifices.
So did Cain and Abel do it too.
But yeah, that's correct. Right, of course, with disastrous results. Yeah.
Yeah,
with Noah, that thing was
the request by God.
Right.
It was made to Abraham. Was the first.
This is the first time, right?
The others made sacrifice, but not necessarily as a.
Right, that's correct. I mean, here he's actually commanded to do.
That's right.
That's correct.
The greatness of Abraham was he was never given a negative command. Only the angel said, do not kill your son. That was a positive. That was a negative sense, so that was a positive.
Okay. All right. So anyway, So the Rebbeinu Shleilam tells Abraham to do what? To make the sacrifice that we call the Brisbane Hapsorum, the covenant between the various pieces of the sacrificial animals. Omar Lefonav. So he said, Hashem, he says, Rebbeinu Shleilam, he says, Tinach Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. Okay. You said that you would forgive the people of Israel if they offer up sacrifices, right? When they sin. So that's fine as long as what? As long as the Beis HaMikdash is in existence. But Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, what happens if it is a period wherein there is no Beis HaMikdash? Matahi Alehem, then what will happen to the people of Israel? How will their sins be forgiven? How will they be spared punishment for the sins? So Amalo, he said to him, Kvor Tikanti Lahem Seder Korbanos. I have already ordained for them the various orders of sacrifices that have to be offered. Okay? So, Kolzman Shekorin Bahen. As long as they read them, meaning, of course, reading the sections of the Torah wherein the sacrifices are mentioned, Mala de Alehen, then I will reward them, Ke'ilu Makrivim Fanai Korban, as if they were offering up a sacrifice before me, Umoichal Ani al Kol Vanisem, and I will forgive all their sins. Now, I wanted to. Yes. Where is which quote from?
What you're just saying, this conversation with God,
It's here in the Gemara. This is what we just read.
It's not in the Torah.
No. The Torah has an argument between Rabbeinu Shalom and Avraham when he tries to save the people of Sodom.
Right, right. So this is something.
And now again, you know, with the Brisbane Absorb, you know, he wants to know for what. How am I worthy enough, you know, that these things that you promised me will happen, you know? In other words, the land will be the land given to my descendants. When? Did he have any descendants at that time? No. Didn't. So, therefore, you know, we have this discussion. But this is what the Rabbeinu Shalom tells him. I just want to add as follows. Of course, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today, okay? We do read the various details concerning the sacrifices in the Torah, because we read the entire Torah, okay, during the course of the year. But in addition, you're probably aware that the first part of the Siddur contains different selections that deal also with sacrifices, with the Ketores, with the incense that was offered up in the Beis HaMikdash. We have a chapter, Yisrael Mekomen Shalos Vachim, that we read, and so on. So that these things serve that when we recite them, it is as if we are personally sacrificing before Hashem and asking Him for forgiveness. And then, of course, every time that we recite a Musaf, so what do we say? We say, you know, that we should only again be able to sacrifice to Bidim Kisidrom and Musafim. You have written concerning these things for our benefit in the Torah, right? And then we quote, for example, our Shabbos of Yom HaShabbos, what was the sacrifice there, what was the special sacrifice offered on Rosh Chodesh, on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, okay? So that by reciting these things, we are therefore not only calling to mind what went on in the Beis HaMikdash, but also it serves as a prayer unto God that our sins should be forgiven, even as the sins of our ancestors were forgiven during the time that the Beis HaMikdash was in existence.
So as far back as Abraham, there was a plan for a holy Jew.
Eventually.
Obviously,
yeah,
according to the quotation. I mean, I don't know who's responsible for these quotations.
Well, that was the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
A fertilized egg, so we know what's going to be. But eventually, everything that's going to happen is derived from this. So this was the fertilized egg, let's say, for the relationship between Hashem and Israel, right? And then eventually all these things happened one after another. They unfolded as time went on.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's a Gemara, but it's from a Midrash then.
This is Agada. Is similar. I mean, what we have over here, this is also Agada, and the Midrash is also Agada.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Midrash by itself has two meanings.
Right.
One meaning is the fact that this is how we can interpret something from a verse in the Torah.
Right.
That's one idea of it. And then the other one is, you know, the official collections that we call Midrashim, such as in this particular case, the Midrash Rabbah to the Book of Ruth, or the Midrash Rabbah to the Book of Esther, or the Midrash Rabbah to Bereishis or Shmos or whatever it may be, okay? There happen to be five based on the five books of the Torah, right? And five which are based on the five Megillahs that we read, okay? But then there are also other midrashim based on other works as well. That, let's say, a Midrash Tilim, for example. Understand?
Yeah,
and then there are other collections like the Yalkut Shimoni and so on. I mean, you have different things. Okay. Now, the Mishnah also said that Betanios Brochos Uklolos. All right. That on fast days, we read the Tochecha which tells us, you know, about first the blessings that will happen if the people of Israel obey God's commands, and then the curses. Now, when we covered this before, we noted that today we don't read this on fast days. What do we read? We read instead Vayechal Moshe, Esprit Hashem. Now, Moses prayed before God to pray for forgiveness after the sin of the golden calf, that he should forgive the people of Israel. And at that particular time, Hashem showed him the proper way, and that is by saying Hashem, Hashem, Kil Rachim, Rachanun, and so on. It's what we call the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of Hashem, to recite them. Okay? So, but this brings to mind, however, the fact that we have a certain remnant of that, as we'll see in a second, even today. Okay. Now, the Mishnah said then, B'taniyah is brachas uklalos. We read on fast days the blessings followed by the various curses of the Teichacha, and it says, V'yein mafsikim miklalos. And when we read the various curses, we do not break it up into different aliyahs. In other words, you read the whole thing at one time. Okay? So again, the question is, what reference do we have to point that this is a correct practice? So Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamdo, he says, Amar Rabasi, he said the name Rabasi. The Abakro says, we have a pasuk. This happens to be taken from the book of Proverbs, book of Mishlei, and it says, Musar Hashem b'ni al timas. My son, do not despise the instruction of God. Okay? Musar can mean not just instruction, but Musar can also mean that you're being told how to behave when you're not behaving correctly. And of course, for a fast day, right, this is an appropriate thing. Greg? Greg? Hello, Greg. Okay. All right. So, Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish said, why don't we, let's say break it up into different aliyahs, the curses? He says, Lefi she'ein omrim brocha lapuronis. We don't want to recite a brocha over punishment, the things that threaten punishment to people. We don't want to have a bad, begin with a bracha, with a blessing over something that is bad. Okay? Elahechi of it. So, what should you do according to Reish Lakish? He says, Tana, we have a tradition that says, Kishehu maschil, when the person begins reading, so maschil, the pasuk shalifnehem, he begins with a verse which precedes the Teichacha, Kishehu mesayim, and when he completes it, so mesayim the pasuk shalachrehem. Then he completes the reading of that particular Leah, or the reading of the Torah, with a verse that follows the Tochicha. Okay. Now, this, of course, first of all, Tosfos points out that it doesn't mean necessarily one verse before and one verse after, that it could be several verses before. Okay? But the basic idea is that we do not begin immediately with the Tochicha, nor do we break it up, but instead what? We always start first with words of blessing, and then we always wind up on some sort of a note which at least should be hopeful, okay?
In the same on Shabbos Chasson, that one myth Ali, you don't start with Echer.
Yeah, that's correct. Correct. This is the custom that we stop one sentence before, and then we begin with Hashem Elokim, so Yisrochim Hashem Elokim, Kasher Dibelochem, Echo Esa Nevada.
Correct. For the same reason.
For the same reason, exactly. All right. Yes.
I heard one of the explanations why the Parsha Kedoshim starts with a positive, and the last words of the Parsha Kedoshim is negative.
Yes.
Is there any normative explanation why?
Normative one. It's a good question. Why? But this is the way it's divided. That's all there is to it.
The explanation that I heard from Rabbi Fran was that the punishment of healing the person by bathing is actually atoning for him for the world to come.
Right.
So basically, it's positive public equity first.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, it's not Kedoshim really that ends that way. It's Emor. Yeah, Emor ends that way with the Makalil. Okay. Okay. Omar Abaye, Abaye adds the following. He says, Loi Shanu, when we say that you do not break up the Tarchicha, it's Ela Biklolo Shabbatos Kehanim. This applies to the that we have in the book of Vayikra, okay, the book of Leviticus. About Klolo Shabbat Mishnah Torah, however, the Tarchicha that we find in the book of Devarim, in Deuteronomy, says, Posek, there he says, you are permitted to break it up into aliyahs. So, it's a rather unusual statement, but the question is, my Tabo, why, what is the reason that he gives? I mean, that he says that it justifies breaking up the Tarchicha in Sefer Devarim. He says, Halonu, Bilshud Rabbi Mamuros, Moshe Piagur Abo, he says. The first ones, the one that we'll be reading just very shortly, in another couple of weeks, that we find in Parsha Bechukosai, okay? He says, there the Tochicha is written in the Atem form. In other words, it's addressed to whom? To the entire people of Israel, that's number one. And secondly, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying what Hashem told him to say to the people of Israel as a Tochicha. Okay, therefore what? Therefore, according to Abaye, right, we should not break it up. Okay, following what Reish Lakish had to say. Okay. All right. All right, this is part of what Abaye is still saying. All right, and then he says, Moshe said it directly. He was transmitting exactly what he heard. Where he heard it? Where was Sefer Vayikra? It was in the Ohel Moed. When Moshe was in the Ohel Moed, in the tent of meeting, right? This is where we find the various teachings that we find in the book of Vayikra. V'halolo, however, the latter, in other words, that we find in Devarim, he says, B'lishon Yochid Aburos, first of all, they are written not in the Atem form, but they are written in the Ator form, you, singular, right? Moshe B'yatzmi Amoran, and not only that, but this is what Moshe himself said to the people of Israel. Of course, Tosfos says, actually, we have to assume that he's still speaking with what? With divine inspiration. But nevertheless, there's a difference that we find in the tone between the first Tochicha that we have in Sefer Vayikra as compared to the tone that we find in Devarim. Levi Barbuti, Avakori, the Kobagamim. Levi, the son of Bute, was reading the Torah, he was reading the Tochicha, and he started to stammer over there. And this was Kameh the Rav Huda. He was doing, he was reading this in the presence of Rav Huda and Barure, and this is where he stumbled in the various curses that are to be found. So Amalo, so Rav Huda said to him, Akenavshoch, look, he says, you can do if you want, if you can make a stop. Why? He says, Leishonu ele klolo shebatei oskehanim. Because where they said not to interrupt is in the Vayikra, right? The Sefer Vayikra, Mishnah Torah, Pesach. So if you're stammering, and the question is why was he stammering? So one explanation given, Tosfos again suggested, okay, that he was stammering because he wanted to rush through the reading of the curses over there. He didn't want to linger on them, okay? So this is why Rav Huda told him that he could slow down, he could stop over there if he wants to. Now, of course, this is a custom that we follow to this very day. As you know, the minhag is that when we read the Tochicha, we read it first in a lower voice than we read the rest of the Torah reading. And secondly, we read it a little faster than we normally would read a verse in the Torah. So that here is the origin of that particular custom.
Now,
yes, Arthur.
In Deborah.
Yeah.
You want to talk, in the Chukasa, you go straight through. The
yes.
Same voice.
Right.
In the Borim, once, at least once, and some people twice, you say in a higher tone. Is that considered
No, it's punkt verkehrt. It's punkt verkehrt. Right. It's in the Chukosai yeah. that we have certain verses that speak of consolation and so on. For Zuchati, that I normally read louder and slower.
In Kisova also, I think?
No, in Kisova you don't have that at all. You get a lot of brachas before, but once you get in with the klolas, you read and read and read. I mean, there's also another difference that's not mentioned over here, and that is that the klolas in Bechul Kosai are shorter. Less verses. Moshe Rabbeinu was really a lot closer, you know. He was giving them
double dose.
Double dose, right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. Now we come to another Indian. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Yemeira. We have learned a Baraisa which says that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Ezra tikein lahem liyisrael shiukoyen kololos shabbatos kehanim kedem atzeres shabbimishne teirah kedem rosh hashanah. He says, Ezra already ordained for the people of Israel that these kololos, that in other words, the tochecha that we find in the book of Vayikra, Torah's Kanim, remember, because of the time, says it has to be read Kodem Atzeres, prior to the holiday of Shavuos. Remember, Atzeres in the Mishnah and the Gemara, Atzeres always means Shavuos, okay? It has to be read before Shavuos. Right. Mishnah Torah, those that are in the book of Deuteronomy, they have to be read Kodem Rosh Hashanah, okay, prior to Rosh Hashanah. And my Tama, for what reason? So Abaye said, the Tema Reish Lakish, and there are those who say even that it was Reish Lakish who said it. Kedei Shetikle Hashanah Mekilo Deisecha. The year should end with its curses. In other words, there should be no more curses and the new year should begin on a note of bracha. Okay? So, it says, Pishna Moshe B'mishna Teichu, fine as far as the Teichu in the Vorim. Iko, it's possible to see Kadesha Tichle Shanwikin Leseha. Because when does it occur? When do we say that the year with its curses should come to an end and we should only have a wonderful year? That's before Rosh Hashanah. So that, you know, that's one of the things that we learned, that when we studied Masachas Rosh Hashanah, that one of the blessings or greetings, if you wish, for Rosh Hashanah was Tichle Shana Dekila Meseho, may the year with its curses come to an end, Tochel Shana may a new year begin with its blessings. So this is what we learned in Rosh Hashanah. So fine, we can see that it makes sense as far as Rosh Hashanah is concerned. However, as far as the one that we have in Sefer Vayikra, Atu Atzeres Rosh Hashanah, is Shavuos then a Rosh Hashanah? So he says, yes it is. Atzeres Dabei Rosh Hashanah. Shavuos is also a Rosh Hashanah. Ditnan, and of course, where do we learn this? We learned this in Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. What does it say? Vatzeres Haperes Holy Lot. Remember, it says that there are 4 days of judgment in the year, right? Of course, for Nissan, judgment is passed, you know, for kings, etc., etc., and then, of course, we learn that we have on Sukkot, the day of judgment is the day of judgment that we should have sufficient rain during the course of the year. That's why we recite the Tefillas Geshem and so on, okay? And how about Pesach? Pesach also it's a day of judgment for the early grain that grows that should be plentiful, and then Atzeres, for the later grain that grows that too should be plentiful. So it's also a festival of judgment. So that therefore it is appropriate that we read the Toichicha prior to Shavuos. Again, Tosfos notes the fact that actually it's not on the Shabbos prior to these events. We always have one Shabbos that follows the reading of the Toichicha prior to Rosh Hashanah and prior to Shavuos, okay? So that we don't go immediately from from the clovers into the festival. We have a little break in between. Okay. Tanya, we have learned as follows. Yes, by the way, I said it was for the later grain, but actually, Peres HaYilul is for the fruit growing on the trees. Okay. Because don't forget that Shavuos is Yom HaBikurim, it's the time that they first begin to bring the first fruits to the temple, so that's it. Tanya. And now we have something thrown in over here, which may not be appropriate, but okay. But anyway, it's interesting to read. It says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozo Eber, Rabbi Shimon says, Im yom ulucho tzikeinim sesor, if the elders tell you, destroy the Elodim b'nei, and the youngsters tell you, the young people say, build, sesor. What you should do is to destroy, right, the altivne, and don't build. Mipnei shestira sekenim binyon, because when the older people destroy something, in reality what they have in mind is to build something new, right? Whereas binyon orim sesira, whereas when young people build something, very often what happens to it? It's destroyed in the end. They haven't thought through they haven't thought through really what they're doing over there, and they're only acting on impulse or whatever it may be. So this is a justification for the judgment of older people that should be followed. The Simon Ladovar, and we have in the Bible a hint at this. What is the hint? It's Rechavim and Shlomo. The Rechavim, who was the son of Shlomo, succeeded him on the throne, and then if you remember, when the people asked for relief from the taxes, right? What was his right? Tax you more. My father, he says, hit you with whips, I'll beat you with scorpions, and so on and so forth. Those are going to make life miserable for you if you don't. And so as a result, what happened? 10 of the tribes of Israel split. Now we have another reading, another din which deals with Torah reading. It says, Malkum Shemav Sikim Shabbos, Shachris, the place where we finish reading Shabbos in the morning, Sham Korim B'Mincha, then that's where we begin the reading Shabbos to Mincha, B'Mincha right? And B'Mincha, and where we complete the reading of Mincha on Shabbos afternoon, so Sham Korin Basheni, then that's where we begin reading on Monday morning. And Basheni, and where we complete the reading on Monday morning, Sham Korin Bachamishi, so there we read on Thursday. And Bachamishi, and where we complete the reading on Thursday, Sham Korin L'Shabbos Habor, this is where we read on the following Shabbos. And Divrei Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Needless to say, we don't follow that custom, but we're going to follow the custom that's now going to be mentioned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, no. Says, Mokam Shemapsikim Mishabbos Shachris, where we finish the reading Shabbos morning, Shom Kom Mincha. Then at that point, we begin reading Mincha at Shabbos, but not only Mincha and Shabbos, but also Vashen Vachamishi on Monday and on Thursday morning as well. In other words, we read the same thing that we read to Mincha Shabbos, right? Well, the Shabbos HaBo, And then when the following Shabbos comes, then we start again from where we left off the previous Shabbos. So this is what Rabbi Yehuda had to say. Okay. Omer Rabbi Zeris, or Rabbi Zeris said, Halacha. So you know what the halacha is? He says, Mokim Shemapsikim Mishabbos, Shachris, Shabkarim Mincho, Vishen Machemishul, Shabbos Abor. He says, yeah, the halacha is taka, that what? That where we stop reading Shabbos in the morning, so there's where we read Shabbos Mincha, and also on Monday and Thursday morning, and also that's where we begin reading again the following Shabbos. So now the Gemara asked the question, V'leba halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda. So why didn't Rabbi Zeira say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, because he's only repeating what Rabbi Yehuda had to say? So for this we need the next page. Okay. The last page that we'll be learning, right? Lamed Beis. Arthur, you have all the pages?
Yeah. Who's
yeah, give them out to those people who need it. Hey, it's there. I know, we give you the distribution rights. Okay. So the question that we ask then is why does he repeat the same thing that Rabbi Yehuda said? So the answer is Mishum de Abchaluhu. It says the reason being because there are those who have the tradition just the opposite, that they say that what was quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda was really Rabbi Meir's opinion, and what was quoted in the name of Rabbi Meir was really Rabbi Yehuda's. Since we don't know, so therefore I have to tell you what the halacha should be. Okay. All right, so we're now on Lamed Beis, the last daf that we have, Lamed Beis of Adalef, Maseches Megillah. Okay. Tonu Rabbanan, we'll continue a little bit, about a quarter off. Okay. Tonu Rabbanan, our sages taught us. All right, what happens when you are called up and you have an aliyah? Okay, so what should you do? Well, first of all, you open up the Sefer Torah, the Roeh, and you take a look inside and you see where you have to begin reading. Okay, Goylel, then you turn the Sefer Torah back again, you close it again, Mevorech, and you recite the Bracha. The Chozer Pesach, and then you open up the Sefer Torah again, the Koreh, and you read. Now, this, of course, is the recommended. Well, I say it's recommended because the next opinion might also be said.
Rambam says, right.
There's a difference of opinion over here, okay?
Uh-huh.
But this is the preferred way.
Okay. Which one do we follow?
What was just said. To open up, take a look.
Close
it, recite the bracha,
and then
open up and read.
Now you're
okay.
Talking about closing up, you actually
hold it up again?
Right.
Which we don't always do.
I understand. It's on the table, so you
right.
just roll
right.
it up.
Exactly.
And, so in other words, when you say the bracha, it's supposed to be closed?
Yeah.
According to his opinion.
According to Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, again, as you see, it's a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, okay? Rabbi Yehuda says, this is the proper procedure. He says, Poseach, you open the Sefer Torah, the Roen, you take a look, where you're going to read, Mevorech, and while it's still open, what do? You recite the Bracha, the Koreh, and you read the Torah. Now, of course, as you see, there are differences of opinion. And according to the Rambam, as was already mentioned by Arthur, this is his recommended procedure. Okay?
Rabbi Meir. Which one?
No, Rabbi Yehuda, the one that was just quoted on the third line over there. Okay? So, again, the same question. My Tom and the Rabbi Meir. Why did Rabbi Meir say that what? You open it, look, and then you close it before you recite the Bracha? He says, Kidu'ula. He was following the opinion of Ula. The Omar Ula, actually, of course, Ula came much later. But what it means is that Ula voiced this opinion, and it fits in with Rabbi Meir had to say. Kidu Ula, as Ula said, the Omar Ula, as he said, Bibneima Omru, why did they say, Hakorei Batorah, that the person who is reading the Torah lo yisayelam turgamon, you should not then give a hand to the translator. You know, remember we said that you translate into Aramaic the verse. It's kadesh and ayimru, so that people should not say targum kosev haTorah, that the translation is written in the Torah itself. So hochinami. So here too, in the case with the bracha, kadesh layimru, so that people should not say brachos kesuvim b'Torah, that the blessings that have to be recited and written in the Torah. That's why we close it, so that people should not get the wrong impression. Okay.
In other words, am I to understand that when the translator was reading, they also rolled it up?
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, well,
it's making
a
comparison.
Right. So
that the person who's reading the Torah should not interrupt in order to do the translation as well, to give a hand to the translator.
Okay.
He should keep his mind on the text itself.
Uh-huh.
But he sees, and this is a parallel to the fact, you know, when it comes to reciting the bracha, that the bracha too should. The Sefer Torah should be closed when you recite the blessing over it, so that people would not get the impression that he's reading it.
Right.
He's
so
reading the brachas from the Torah.
It gets the full power of the blessing as a blessing.
As a blessing, but not that it's part of the text of the Torah.
Those who follow Rabbi Meir and the Rambam, when they make the bracha, either look aside or close their eyes.
Yeah, there are some who do that. Correct.
Close your eyes.
Or look aside.
Or they'll turn this way. I mean,
yeah.
They shouldn't look at the text. For the Balkri, it's helpful because, you know, he can concentrate on the text. But depends
which you don't get the impression that it's written in the Torah.
That's correct.
That he was reading from.
That's exactly what it is. Okay. For Rabbi Yehuda, so how about Rabbi Yehuda? He says, Targum ikolamite. He says, yeah, people could make a mistake about Targum, translation to Aramaic, that they might think that it's written in the Torah. But brachos, everybody knows that brachos lek elamite, they're not in the Torah itself, so that the people are not going to make a mistake. All right. Omer Rabbi Zeira, and again Rabbi Zeira says, Omer Rav Masin, the same Rav Masin says, halacha is v'seach v'roye v'vorech. Okay, that you open the text, you see where the posuk is, right, that you're going to read, and you make the bracha v'kori and you read. All right. So in other words, he follows the second opinion. So they say, V'lema aloha Rabbi Yehuda. So why doesn't the Gemara then say that aloha follows Rabbi Yehuda? Because that's what we're saying. So again, he gives the same reason. He says, Mishum da'apchadachu. Because there are those who say that where it says Rabbi Yehuda, it's really Rabbi Meir. Where it says Rabbi Meir, it's really Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Okay. Omer Rabbi Zeira, Omer Rav Masna, and since we're quoting Rabbi Zeira, who's speaking, you know, who quotes Rabbi Masna, he says, "Haluchos v'abimos ein bahem mishum kedusha." He says, boards that were used over there on the table or to cover, according to some, that they were used like a covering for the Torah, he says, but they have no holiness in themselves, and the same thing is true of the bima. Upon which the sefer, you know, where we stand and we read, it doesn't have holiness by itself, right?
Doctor,
yes.
Luchos
over here. There are those who say that once upon a time. Take a look at the Rashi, line 4. Line 4, Rashi. It says haluchos. He says. It says, I really don't know what they are. So if Rashi doesn't know, we're also a little in the dark what the luchos mean over here. Okay?
What the luchos are.
Right, right. The yesh beforshin and those who say that hein ha'atsuyin lisforim, shelonu, that they are boards which are made for our Sifrei Torah, she'enon ha'atsuyin begilayon, which are not made to be rolled up.
There's a whole explanation here.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it looked like. I mean, we know what Sefer Torahs look like today, but maybe at that time there was a different tradition among some people for what the Sefer Torah would be. I don't know. As I said, if Rashi doesn't know,
maybe
I can
the
also
Sefer Torah was not always written in a scroll form.
Possibly.
I mean, they imply that it might have been written as a book form.
Yeah, I know what he says over there, but I don't know. We don't really have any evidence of that effect. So
well,
it's a guess on his part.
Scrolls. You have evidence.
Scrolls, we know.
You have
definitely, of course. Scrolls, we know. But
scrolls, do you hold it this way or do you hold it this way?
I doubt very much. I doubt it, frankly. That they were, that the Torah was written in book form. We're not talking about a Chumash, we're
well,
talking
so
about
they,
the Torah.
They say that it might have been written in page form and then then bound together and to make the scroll.
So today is also
I won't
page
say
form
no.
bound together.
I don't know, but I feel like this. If Rashi says I don't know,
you have good source.
I also say I don't know.
Well, when he says I don't know, he means there is no evidence to show one way or another.
Okay.
At least now we can all say we're as wise as Rashi.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
We're talking about the word, referring to elevation upon it, which is translated the reader of the Torah.
No, that's the Bima. That has nothing to do with the
Bima. I mean, they talk about the platform here, too.
Yeah, that's the Bima. I mean, to us, a Bima is a Bima. That we know.
It doesn't have any sanctity anyway.
Yeah, okay. Rashi says that the Bima specifically that they're referring to over here is not the Bima upon, you know, we stand when we read, but he says, this is the Bima Shoyu Oisin Lamela Kapashas Habela. We learned it in Gemara Seita that once every 7 years we had what we call the ceremony of Hakil, where the people of Israel come together in the base
of
Mikdash once every 7 years at the conclusion of Sukkot. Okay. So the
what is the ceremony?
The king of Israel would read from Sefer Devarim before the people, and in order to be seen and heard by everybody who came to the ceremony, men, women, children, and so on, so they made a special platform for it. So what Rashi is implying over here is that this bima that they put up has no intrinsic holiness in itself. It was only something put up for the ceremony itself.
Right.
But obviously what would happen afterwards,
they
would take it down again. Right. Yeah.
But as a part of the synagogue today,
well,
we were studying about the sanctity of the synagogue.
Right, right.
I would assume that everything within it had a sense.
Yeah, today, Bima really has a certain
because of the
because of
the Sefer Torah.
But exactly,
no,
the place where we read the Torah.
Right.
What does Hakel mean?
Hakel means gather together.
Assembly.
So the word kahal, you know.
Kahila.
Yeah. It's all the same root.
Same words.
Okay, another rule concerning reading the Torah. Omer Rav Shfatya, Omer Rav Yochanan. Shfatya said the name of Rav Yochanan, he said, HaGoylel Sefer Torah, when you roll a Sefer Torah, so Rir Shesha Midenu Atfar, then you have to, in the rolling, make sure that where the sheets are joined together, this is in the center.
The seam.
The seam, right, where the seam is.
So you should really move it to
well, that's right. This is why if a person wants to perform the Hagbah correctly, so he turns it first, you know, and then he centers it where the seam is, okay?
Why is that?
Why? Because it's considered that less likely to tear if it's raised that way, whereas if you would do it in another place, it could be that you get over ambitious. And the first thing you know, you tear the sinews that bind the sections together. This is why we had to send the Sefer Torah to repair, because some of the sinews had gotten loose.
All right.
Right. So we have to be careful, you know, how we do.
If that happens, you know.
It could happen. We have to have the Sefer Torah that part
right.
of this.
Yeah.
Completely apart, but broke the sinews.
Yeah. Right. And another teaching of Rav Shfatya of Rav Yochanan, he says, "Agul at Sefer Torah, when you roll the Sefer Torah, golalomi bachutz and golalomi b'pnim. You should take the further one and roll first, rather than the nearer one to the text that you have." Well, okay. Actually, most people, what do they do? You know,
has to do with the size.
There until it's over.
The size of the roll,
yeah.
Actually.
Right.
What you're saying?
Right. Yeah. But let's say that you have to turn in the Sefer Torah from one place to another. Then what do? You always start with the one, you know, which, or you should start with the one which is further away.
Right,
in other words,
the one that
in reality
to.
Is the one which is nearer. Right.
If you were reading here, and you got to the end, wouldn't you unroll the one that you're going toward?
Sure.
That's logical.
All right, well, that's one thing. However, I have to say something else. The Sephardim, their Sifrei Torah are encased in the case.
Yes.
Quite
yes.
different
yes.
from what we do, okay? And when they read, if you notice,
it stands up.
Right, exactly. So there, obviously, you would have to turn it more from the outside than from the inside. So
do they have Ogden to deal with too,
Yeah, they do, right.
They have to lift the whole case?
Yes.
Everything is encased.
Yeah,
right.
I've been.
Can't take it out.
I went to the big
school. Yeah. 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 Then, when you fasten it, let's just start first with the nearer one and then with the further one. All right. The Yomar of Shvat Yomar of Yochanan, again, another quotation. Asorah Shakorah Batorah, if you have 10 people, in other words, have a minion, who read the Torah, HaGodol Shabahem, Godol Sefer Torah. The most honorable aliyah that you could give is to give Galila to the most distinguished
Galila,
person.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he says. And why? He explains as follows. He says, because HaGololo, the person who has Galila, says, no till Sechah Kula. He receives the reward of everyone. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, said, "Asora shekorah b'tera hagula sefer Torah kibel tzchak kulon." That the person, if you have a minion and they read the Torah, then the person who goes glila rolls up the sefer Torah. He is the one who gets the reward for everyone. Okay, tzchak kulon salkatatek. What do you mean? He gets the reward that belongs to everybody? Elohimu, but rather kibel tzchak keneged kulon. The reward that he gets is equal to the various rewards that the other people get for performing.
So he gets the subtotal reward.
He gets the subtotal, right.
They get
it's
a reward.
The, he gets the equivalent, right.
The equivalent of
right,
the subtotal, right.
Right. Okay.
They don't take away from
right.
that.
There are those who say, incidentally, that it's not Galila, but it's the person who is Hagman that they're talking
about.
I've
heard always that Galila was always the more.
I've heard Galila, but
there are those who say that the person who is Hagman, but where it says Galila here, then it really be Hagman. But this is, I say, this
mean,
the
Hagman?
Fact of the matter is that today the average rabbi he reserves Hagman Galila for those who don't know how to make a bracha and things
right.
like that.
Yeah, it's almost like the lesser.
But if everybody knows how to make the bracha, then that last statement would not. All right, and we have another statement again by the Omer of Shvati Omer of Yochanan. It says, "Benayin shemishtam shebevas koil." How do we know that we may make use of a heavenly voice? Shneemar, pasuk says in Shayahu, "Yosnecho tishmono." Right? And your ears will hear a word behind you, literally saying as follows. Okay? So, in other words, you can get a heavenly message in your ears.
Behind you.
Coming from behind you, into your ears.
He's talking about the. Who is he talking about? Who is getting the message here?
He means that people who have Ruach HaKodesh, they'll get messages from the Shaykh. Okay.
Not necessarily but people at the Torah.
No, that's nothing to do with the Torah reading. This has to do with the fact that people sometimes feel that they hear a heavenly voice instructing them. Okay? So the Hani Miliya says, this applies.